I'm here to talk about the late Dr. Stephen Wu. So I first met Dr. Wu, Stephen, in 1988. He was my partner's good friend at the time, and we all socialized a lot. And Dr. Wu was a psychiatrist. And in our circle of friends, there's a whole bunch of doctors, and three of them are psychiatrists. And Dr. Stephen Wu, at the time, worked at the Mount Sinai Hospital in the psychiatry department. It was also the time when HIV/AIDS was just a very messy thing at the time. There was no medication, no treatment, no nothing really. His family ran a pharmacy back home in Trinidad somewhere. So what was interesting was that because he was a psychiatrist, he actually was probably one of the first, if not the first, psychiatrist who started to look into psychiatric concerns that related to HIV and AIDS.
Okay, interesting.
So he had actually patients who were HIV positive and all that kind of stuff. So he maintained his practice, and 1 year after we had all gone to what's that show called? DQ. It was a drag queen show way back.
Okay.
It's not like today's drag races or not. It was just a show on stage. And 1 year we had gone back to his place, and a whole bunch of us were sitting there just relaxing. And then that's when he told us that he found a spot on his skin. And then basically what that meant was, it was Kaposi, I think that was the skin cancer condition that was associated with HIV and AIDS at the time. So that was a bit of a bombshell. It was a big bombshell. And then fast forwarding that, forgot exactly the timing of that, but he eventually set up the HIV psychiatry clinic at Mount Sinai, which is still running today, which is an amazing thing, you know, because it's helping people deal with not just the medical situation. Now, things, of course, have changed over the years. Not that the mental health part has gone anywhere. I mean, once you've been told you have an incurable disease, even though it's manageable now, it's still a big mental thing to have to deal with.
Definitely, yeah.
And back in the day, there were drugs that people were taking. One of them was AZT, which I'm sure you've heard of. And then there were also other antivirals that were starting to appear. I forgot exactly when what medication he was on at the time or what it was. And then at around that time, the scientists were starting to look into the cocktail, which was a mixture of different drugs, and they were actually starting to work. Unfortunately, he passed away before that was available to him. As a matter of fact, the day he was supposed to go home from the hospital was the day he died. I remember quite clearly the day that we're all just excited that he's been in the hospital for a while, but think things are looking better and whatnot. And the same afternoon, I got a phone call saying that he's actually passed away. So that was Stephen as we knew him, and he passed away in 1992. That was 33 years ago.
Do you remember talking to him about kind of what kind of things his patients were thinking about, or I mean, obviously there was like doctor-patient confidentiality.
Well, yes,
but, you know, like.
But he, I mean,
in general,
he did not have to. He did not have to mention names, obviously.
Right.
Conditions and situations. There were. I think depression is probably one of those really, really obvious things, because imagine yourself in the late 80s, early 90s, somebody told you you have this incurable disease and it's just a matter of time when you're going to die or how, right? So there were all kinds of people. People died from... because the immune system is so destroyed, they have no T cells, right? We still talk about the T cells to defend anything. So it doesn't necessarily mean that you'll die from one disease. It could be anything when your body has no defense. And everyone was trying to figure out okay, so I have this disease, I cannot work. So that all ties into the inability to function, right? So they have a lot of medical appointments to go to. Doctors, I had helped a friend. We were driving to doctor's appointments regularly to do blood work, to check the numbers and see how things are and how the medications were working or not working.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a lot of stress on people in terms of not just dealing with their health issues and then family acceptance, family kicking them out, family sort of saying, you know, we don't want to have anything to do with you. Then you get sort of financial issues, right? Not everyone has a lot of money in the bank account to hire nurses and whatnot. And even if you had money, they might not want to come and see you as they don't want to catch it.
Right.
So that's another thing. Then the care. Some people were able to care for themselves until sort of the end, but eventually when you get sicker and weaker, it became more and more difficult for them to, some people died alone at home, right? So the psychiatric part of it is to try and help them deal with those situations. And then there's always a network of healthcare providers. There's the doctors, psychiatrists, and all kinds of other health professionals that would help make things a bit easier for them.
Mm-hmm. And I've read a lot about, because of that fear of catching it, these people didn't really
mm-hmm.
know a ton about how it was transmitted, that a lot of that care toward the end was super isolating because people couldn't,
mm-hmm.
were afraid to touch you or afraid to whatever.
That's correct.
And I'm sure, you know, I'm sure Dr. Stephen Wu gave people a lot of relief in that isolation.
Mm-hmm. And back then in the 80s, 90s, there were only a handful of doctors that would actually treat HIV patients. A lot of them have retired now because it's been so long. So that was those were the days when psychiatry wasn't a part of the treatment, and then Dr. Wu started it.
Right, a more kind of holistic look at everything related to,
and especially now, mental health is such a big deal for all of us. It's been sort of hidden under the rug for the longest time, and now it's becoming something that it's no longer being looked at as taboo or something that is labeled. You know, you're useless because you have mental issues, or you're
right.
crazy.
Right.
But 30 years ago, it wasn't like that.
Right. What if we pull back a little bit before kind of his illness or
mm-hmm.
passing? What was he kind of like? Like, what was his personality like? What did he dress like? What kind of music did he
like?
He was
an incredible person. Very talented in many ways, very funny, very social, a great cook,
okay,
amazing cook, a great musician. He played the piano, and we would always sing together around his piano, and we had a lot of fun doing social things, or going out and spending time with that core group at the time. Our unit, we used to live in the same condo building. We're on the third floor, and they were on the fourth floor. So going to socialize was really easy. Just go
right.
walk up 16 steps, and then you're at the dinner party, and there's always a lot of giggling, a lot of fun, and then a lot of food. Well, I think he was just a great advocate for people with HIV and AIDS. And I'm sure if he's still alive, he would still be doing that. He would likely be giving speeches, he would likely be writing books and whatnot about it, because he's been through all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I, of course, we wish he had the medication at the time to keep him alive until now. We'd be still good friends and doing all kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, thanks to him for all the work he had done.